Support for WPR comes from Focus on Energy, committed to helping Wisconsinites focus on the planet by making smart energy choices. Energy resources for Earth Day and every day can be found at focusonenergy.com. Support for WPR comes from Present Music, performing honest music with guest violist and curator Nadia Sirota, May 9th at 8 at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Tickets and info are at presentmusic.org.
Even with advanced medical science, the human lifespan just isn't that long, comparatively speaking. I mean, take the longest living humans. Jean Calment of France died at age 122. Jiromon Kimura of Japan was 116 when he died. But there's a shrub in Tasmania that's 43,600 years old. And there's a patch of seagrass in Spain that's more than 100,000 years old. Photographer Rachel Sussman has documented 30 of these oldest living things in the world, and she just came out with a gorgeous coffee table book of her photos, along with stories about her very long-lived subjects. To visit them, she has traveled all over the world, including to Antarctica.
I was there to photograph this 5,500-year-old moss, and it was wonderful even just to learn that there was something that old living on Antarctica. But the other thing that was so wonderful for me was that I just had finished reading Endurance, the Shackleton expedition story, and it turned out that we ended up following in Shackleton's footsteps a bit, because this moss that I was after lives on Elephant Island, and that happens to be the same spot where Shackleton and his crew were marooned, I believe, for almost a year.
So you went there to look for this 5,500-year-old moss. What was it like to actually find it?
Certainly, that was incredibly satisfying. I did about 2 years of research before making this trip. So I had heard about the moss sort of just through a rumor, really. So I immediately started looking for published research. But it took me a while to track that down. But once I did, I spoke to the scientists who had discovered it. And this was around 25 years ago that they'd made the discovery. And as far as we knew, nobody had laid eyes on this moss since then. So it was really a big question about whether I'd be able to find it. And that had been the days before GPS. So I actually contacted the Polar Geospatial Research Center, who then provided me with some satellite maps. And, you know, I certainly will never forget the moment when I was standing on the bridge of the ship with binoculars looking out at this point, an Elephant Island, and actually saw it. And it was incredibly it was humbling.
What does it look like?
Everything in Antarctica does look white. But as you get closer, you realize that it's far more nuanced. So as I got closer into the island, you could see the green of the moss against some of certainly the rocky outcroppings and those sort of geologic structures, as well as the snow and glaciers behind it.
But one of the things that's so striking about this is you're talking about 5,500-year-old moss, and it exists. It's survived on one of the most inhospitable places on the planet. It's one thing to have survived that long. It's another thing to have survived that long in such conditions. How do you even begin to explain that?
It's absolutely fascinating, and also something that I feel like connects a lot of my subjects, in that they tend to live in very inhospitable climates and living in extremes of temperature, extreme elevations. We have things that are underwater. We have organisms that live with very low nutrient availability.
Things in deserts.
Yes, that was an exciting thing to find as well, that a number of the connecting factors have to do with living in difficult circumstances and yet being uniquely adapted to thrive in them.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, I'm thinking right off the bat, there's a photograph you have. It's not even very impressive to look at. It looks like a little bit of green sort of scrub. It's not a big patch of green in the middle of what looks like just this desert. And then you say it's an underground forest?
That was a very interesting one to learn about as well. Yeah, so the underground forest, this was a phenomena that I learned about from a botanist in South Africa at the Pretoria Botanical Garden. And I'd actually gone to South Africa looking for baobab trees. And he said, oh, have you heard of this phenomena of these different plants that actually migrated underground as an evolutionary tactic to protect themselves from frequent fires that occur in the region? And of course, I'd never heard of this. And he said, actually, a lot of botanists have never even heard of this phenomena. So collectively, they're known as the underground forests, and they're growing clonally, which means they're self-propagating. And the one that I photographed was thought to be around 13,000 years old. But wow. Unfortunately, it is no longer with us. So this was some very sad news that I learned, but they changed the traffic pattern. This was outside of the gates of the botanical garden there, and they just bulldozed right over the poor thing.
Oh, my gosh. I can't imagine. I mean, the sense of loss at losing something 13,000 years old.
This isn't the only one of my subjects that we've lost in the past 5 years alone. And considering that I only photographed 30 organisms, losing two is not a very good statistic.
Well, this really gets at one of the other reasons you wanted to do the project in the first place. You know, it's to document and hopefully kind of call attention to these amazing plants, you know, some of the oldest living things on the planet, and hopefully to help people try to preserve them.
Absolutely. I think that collectively, these organisms really symbolize something that transcends us all and can connect us all and hopefully forge some understanding that, you know, we all are part of this global ecosystem. And as climate change becomes more and more of a clear and present danger, I'm hoping that by looking at these organisms that have survived through millennia, that that might help us remember that these individuals have persevered, but they are in danger at our hands. And they are in danger. And it's up to us to step in and protect them.
So how old are the oldest living things on Earth?
So the oldest known living organism is the Siberian actinobacteria, which is between 400,000 and 600,000 years old.
I can't even think of time in those scales. Put it in some perspective, can you?
Yeah, that's a tricky one. I think, you know, that's certainly another aspect of the project as a whole, is that I'm trying to help connect to these deeper time scales that are so outside of our human understanding of what a long time is. So the Siberian actinobacteria was discovered by a team of planetary biologists who were looking for clues to life on other planets. And they took some core samples into the permafrost in Siberia and ended up finding what is now thought to be the oldest living thing on the planet. So it's really a fantastic discovery, but also goes to show how little we know about life on Earth, and that there's so much more to discover.
What's the oldest living thing in this country?
The oldest living thing in the United States is known as Pando. It's a clonal colony of quaking aspen trees that lives in Utah, and it happens to be 80,000 years old.
Oh, my God. 80,000. So you have to explain what a clonal colony is. This means that it's not a single thing that's been living continuously for 80,000 years, right?
It actually is. It's certainly, if you bear with me here for a moment. So if you think about a single tree that's a unitary organism, we get that, a big giant sequoia. A giant sequoia is a single unitary organism. So if you can imagine a forest that is technically a single tree, and what I mean by that, it is one giant interconnected root system. And each trunk is actually a stem coming out from that system. So what you have is one giant genetically identical individual. And a single stem might not live more than 200 or 300 years, but the entire organism has been alive for around 80,000.
Wow. What's it like to walk amongst those trees.
Well, aspen trees are incredibly beautiful, even the ones that aren't that old. So to have that extra layer of knowledge that this organism has been around for that long is really breathtaking. And it's a way to connect and step back into this deeper time right now in the present.
It's a lovely phrase, deep time. I mean, what does it mean to you?
Deep time is something that I'd been thinking about for a while, even before I'd started this work. And, you know, to me, it's something that it certainly still has a level of abstraction to it, but it's something that is beyond our, almost our, beyond our physiological ability to process time into something that becomes abstract, but also connects us to things like geologic time, cosmic time, and the story of the story that we are a part of, but that we're part of a continuum, and we're a very small part of that continuum. And that could be a little scary, but I think it's also really wonderful and can really create a sense of awe and wonder.
Photographer Rachel Sussman's new collection of photographs is called The Oldest Living Things in the World.